on the other side of this test is everything you've ever dreamed, everything you prayed for, everything he promised you.
Well, today the flood came away and took away our shack. So today we're going to start a new series, all right? So today we're starting a new series called Destiny. Isn't that fitting for us here at Destiny Church? But we're talking about destiny. I believe that there's probably no more greater question that I hear asked as a pastor, hear asked as a Christian leader for several years, is what is my purpose? What is my destiny? People want to know this. People spend time buying books after books, going to seminar after seminar, going to conferences, trying to find out what is my God-given destiny. And I believe destiny is in the heart of every believer. Long before you were a believer, that destiny was in your heart, and God was calling that thing out of you. So today, we're going to begin to start this introduction today. I'm going to be talking all during the month of May about this word destiny and us finding our purpose, our destiny. And so you don't want to miss it. It's going to be good as we unpack it today, and I hope you're ready to receive. But we're asking this question, what is our destiny? You know, for a Christian, no one should be stuck in neutral. For a Christian, no one should be stuck in neutral. There's times maybe you need to shift down gears and get into low gear and kind of regain some momentum. But we should never be stuck in neutral. We're either going forward or we're digressing. We're not stuck in neutral. All right, all right, all right. Come on, tell somebody. We're not stuck, and we shouldn't be stuck. And today we are going forward, and destiny is calling us forward. It's God's given destiny within us. We need to activate God's calling upon our life. We need to activate the call that God has called on all of us, who he's called us to be. So we got to discover that. We got to know what that is. We got to answer the million-dollar question. And so this whole series, we're going to be answering that question. What is God's destiny for my life? What is God's purpose for my life? Let's go ahead and jump right in. Now, I hope you're taking notes today. I'm going to give you a lot of scripture, a lot of verses, and I challenge you, if you're taking notes, write them down. If you're using your phone, use your phone for notes. Don't be on social media. Listen to what I'm saying, okay? Come on now. You know, when you make a post on social media during my message, I can always tell when you posted that. So it gives me a complex when you post during my message, like I'm really doing bad. So make sure you're with me there, all right? How many say, Pastor, I'm going to take notes today, okay? Write down the scriptures. I want you to go back, and I want you to read them during the week and meditate on them, because I believe destiny is going to be calling you throughout this whole series. You're going to hear God's voice. Romans 8:28. Look what it says. Look what God does. He's so cool. We know that God causes some things, right? God causes some things to work together. Is that right? No. God causes what? Come on, say it together. God causes everything. God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them. Listen, God causes everything to work to good. That means what? That through every bad season, God will turn it around for good. Through every great thing, God will use it for good. Through every tough thing, God will use it for good. Through every hurt and pain, through every point in your life when you have, as we talked about last week, when you have those difficult things, those life-changing things, life-changing hurts in your life, if we come to God and we love him, and we learn to fall in love with him and are called to his purpose, what happens? He takes the very things that meant to destruct us, to destroy us and to bring destruction, and God turns it around and uses it for good. So that's the great news from every believer, because some of us get stuck there. I've had bad things happen to me. I've had bad things experienced in my life. I've had great failures in my life. I've had this happen to me. But the great news is this. If you're called to God, that God will take even the greatest things, the hardest things, the toughest things, turn them around for good and make them for good for him. This is pretty cool. In the heart of every believer, that destiny is calling you, and God's going to take the thing that was trying to derail you, and God's going to take that thing and turn it around for good. He does it. You see, it's kind of like the coaches. We know coaches who have teams who are doing really good for a long time. Maybe they're undefeated. Maybe it's a football coach and their team is going undefeated. And maybe it's getting ready for the playoffs. And they know that, man, we haven't lost a game. We're doing good. But, man, we're kind of losing our edge. And then they'll have a game where they play bad and they lose. And what does that coach do? That was the best thing that could ever happen to us. It got us refocused again. It let us know we're vulnerable. We could be beat. It let us know if we don't come in and put the work in and we don't refocus, that, man, we could lose to anybody any given day. And the coaches would talk about, man, that was the best thing that ever happened to us, was to go ahead and lose that game now before we got into the playoffs. You see, that's the way God does it in our life. He'll take the very thing, the very defeats in our life, and he'll turn them around to make us tougher, to make us stronger, to make us refocus, to get us ready for the playoffs, to get us ready for the game he has for us, to get us ready for the God-given destiny he has for us. This is the great news we have about our destiny, that God uses it all. All the suffering, he takes it and makes us to use it. Now, let's pick it up in verses 29 and 30, same chapter of Romans chapter 8. For God knew his people in advance, and he chose them to become like his son, so that his son would be the firstborn among his brothers and sisters. And having chosen them, he called them to come to him. And having called them, he gave them the right, what? He gave them, he chose us for what? In advance, he chose us for this right here, to have them right standing with himself. And having given them right standing, he gave them his glory. Now, we realize this, that God called me, and his destiny's calling me, that when I accept the work of the cross, when I accept his son Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, that now I step into right standing. Far in advance, God wanted this. Far in advance, God chose me to stand in right standing with him. He had me in mind. He had you in mind. My destiny was to be in right standing with God. And so he comes and he puts me into right standing. But not only, this is the great news, not only does he give you and I the right standing with God, but now my destiny is to be a carrier of the glory of God. This is pretty heavy, isn't it? This is pretty crazy. God wants me and you to carry his glory. What does this glory represent? It's the presence of God. He wants the presence of God to filtrate your life, to fill your life, so that wherever you go tomorrow, on your job, in your school, in your college, in your workplace, in the marketplace, wherever you're at, he expects me as a Christian to be his carrier. I'm to carry his glory. Man, when I walk by, people say, man, there's something about that guy. There's something about his attitude. There's something about her spirit. There's something about, I don't know what it is, but when I'm around him, I get goosebumps. There's something that happens. What is it? It's the glory of God. The glory of God that sets on me, and I'm able to carry that. This is my destiny. I'm standing in the right standing with God, not by anything I do on my own, but I'm called now to be in right standing that I can carry his glory. Wow. Pretty cool stuff. But we got to understand that God's been calling me. All the days of my life, God's been calling me. Destiny's been leading me. Let's pick it up now. In Ephesians 1:4, look what it says. Even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us. He chose us in Christ to be holy without fault in his eyes. God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family, bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do and gave him great pleasure. This gave him great pleasure. What gave God great pleasure? That before he ever made the world, that he had you and I in mind. Before he ever created and spoke the earth into existence. Some of us think that God created the heavens and the earth, and he spoke the earth into existence, and he's like, oh, this is a pretty cool place. I think I'll go ahead and just make some people so they can enjoy it. No. He had us in mind before he ever spoke the earth into existence. He already created the place for us to live, to inhabit. He created the place for us to fellowship. He created the place, and he had us in our mind. God's been thinking about you longer than you can even comprehend. God's been thinking about you, and not only did he think about you, he had a plan for you. He had a destiny for your life. And your destiny is what? That he loved us. He loved us and he chose me. He chose what? He chose to adopt me. That all I have to do is accept those adoption papers through his son Jesus Christ. And now it's accounted to me all righteousness. He sees me as he sees his son. He treats me like he treats his son. This is my destiny. That God foreknew me. He predestined that I would be adopted into the kingdom of God. For all, we'd have the free will to choose it. But man, he's laid out the plan. It's there. This is my destiny. In advance, God thought about you. In advance, God wanted you. He had us in mind the whole time. Now look what Ephesians 1:5 says as we go to the next verse. At the end of this verse. He adopted us into his own family, bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do and what it gave him great pleasure. So it's very obvious to me that God has a purpose. It's very obvious to me that God has a purpose for you and I. Isn't it obvious to you you're not just an accident? Isn't it obvious to you that he's been thinking about you for thousands upon thousands? We can't even comprehend how long, for eternity, God's been thinking about you and I. He's been thinking about you and I and the things that we're going to face in our lives. He's been thinking about us a long, long time. He had us in mind. He had you in mind. See, destiny is just the beginning. It's not the end. Your call, the destiny God's got for you is just the beginning of the adventure that God has for you. Look what it says here in Philippians 3:7-8. Philippians 3:7-8. Look what it says. I once thought these things were valuable, but now I consider them worthless. Because what? Because of what Christ has done. Yes, everything else is worthless when compared with the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake I have discarded everything else, counted it all as garbage so that I could gain Christ. See, this is why I constantly continue to teach, encourage you to say this, that you understand, how valuable you are in Christ. The more I know who Christ is, the more value I raise. The more my value raised, the more I know who God is, the more I know who Jesus is, the more I know who the Holy Spirit is, the more I know these things, the more my value begins to increase. And when I don't know these things, my value decreases. I don't see myself the way I should. I see myself as a second-class citizen in the house of God. Boy, God, do you really want me? God, do you really, really want me? Can you use me, God? I don't think you can use me. You can use somebody else. You can't use me. I mean, we devalue ourselves, but the more I understand who God is, Paul said, the more I understand it, the more it brings the infinite value. Because what? All these things, when compared with the infinite value of knowing Jesus Christ. That's why that when we get done with this series, in the summer, we're going to be doing a series on who is Jesus, who is the Holy Spirit, who is the Father, because we're going to break it down. We're going to spend time studying the Trinity because I want you to know who they are and the roles they play in our life. Because why? It brings value to your life. The more you understand, the more value you have in your life. The more it becomes infinite value. And he says everything else is kind of worthless. See, this is why, how do we discover? Let's answer this question this morning, the first question. How do we discover your destiny? Simply, when Jesus means more to you than anything else. When Jesus means more to you than anything else, you'll discover your destiny. He says, listen, this is Paul talking. All these great things, they have no value. All these great things were like garbage compared to when I knew who Jesus was. And so discovering your destiny, he says, God, I love you more than anything else. That's why in the very first of the commands, he told us, don't have any other gods before him. We don't have idols before God. Why? Because it's important that we love him more than anything else. It's important that he becomes numero uno in our life. It's important that he knows us. Why? Because it brings value to me. Everything else in comparison is garbage. Everything else has no value when I understand the value of who God is in my life. It brings value to me. It calls me. Destiny has been calling me. When Jesus means more to you than anything else. That's why I'm praying during this series that you continue to get this thought. That Jesus would mean more to you than anything else. Look what Philippians 3:12 says. He goes, I don't mean to say that I've already achieved these things or that I have already reached perfection. But I press on. Everybody say press on. Press on. I press on to possess that perfection for which Christ Jesus first possessed me. See, look at this statement here. It's not about what I've already accomplished. It's about what else does God want me to do. Don't settle. Don't settle. Some of you here, you've accomplished a lot in your life. You're like, man, look at everything I've accomplished for God. Look at everything I've accomplished. And going to your destiny is not about what I've already done. It's about what else can I do for God. My destiny doesn't stop. My calling doesn't stop. My purpose doesn't stop. Just because I've achieved some great things, have experienced some great things, have done some great things, my calling doesn't stop there. It's still calling me forward. I'm still, Paul says, man, remember Paul, he was the guy who got this whole thing going after Jesus died and resurrected. Remember, he was the one who brought the revelation of the New Testament, started all these churches, planting all these churches, sending people out, writing all these letters. I mean, Paul had a lot to brag about. Paul had suffered a lot for Christ. Man, he had been beaten and whipped and imprisoned for the gospel. He was a martyr. He was right there. He had a lot of things to brag about. But he says, it's not about those things. It's about pressing on. What else can I do for God? What else? It's not about all my years in the Sanhedrin studying the Torah. He said, it's not about all those years on the backside of the desert being mentored by the Holy Spirit. Those things are great. But it's not about my past. It's about where am I going? And I must press forward. Some of you have been stuck. You've been stuck for a long time. And God says, no, I got a destiny for you. And it's greater than where you've been. It's a destiny of you moving forward. Your season's not over. Let me say, some of you have been retiring, but God doesn't want you to retire. He wants you to refire and get ready to get back in the game. Come on now. He's ready. He doesn't want you to stop. He's got a call for all of us. And as long as we're breathing, I'm walking in the destiny. Destiny's calling me. Look at verse 13 now, Philippians 3:13 and verses 14. No, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it, but I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past, looking forward to what lies ahead. I press on to the end of the race to receive the heavenly prize, which God, through Jesus Christ, is calling us. What's my focus on? My focus, is what he's saying, he's reiterating what he just told us. My focus is not on my accomplishments. Now, some of you thought it was just your focus. He's talking about forgetting the mistakes, and that's a part of it. Some of us here, we've made bad mistakes. Some of us have failed, and if we get careful, we get stuck right there in that mistake. So that's a part of it. He's saying don't get stuck in your mistakes. But he's also saying don't get stuck in your success as well. Don't get stuck in your accomplishments as well. There's more that God wants you to do. There's more that God has for you. Come on now. God's got more for your life. Don't settle. Destiny's been calling you all of your life. The Spirit of God's been calling you. Long before you were ever born, the Spirit of God has been calling your life. He had us in mind before he ever created the earth. Forget the past, looking forward. Listen, I can't drive my car to go to my destination looking in the rearview mirror, right? I might glance in there once in a while to take a scope of what's going around, but if I look too long, man, I'm going to be wrecked. I'm going to hit something in front of me and go off the road. I can't be looking and staring in the rearview mirror when I'm trying to go forward. Some of you have been trying to do that. You've been trying to go forward by looking in the rearview mirror for a long time. You can't get past the mistake you made. You can't get past the success you've had or used to have or the hurt you experienced, as we talked about last week. You're stuck right there. No, you got to get your eyes on what's forward. God, destiny is calling me forward. You got a different season, a new plan, and it's to press forward. I go forward in the race that God has for me. I can't settle there. Stop looking forward. Look at these statements. I can't control this. Listen, these are some life statements I've lived. My wife can tell you I say this a lot to her, and I believe to be very true through this sermon. I can't control where I've been. I can only control where I'm going. I can't control where I've been. I can only control where I'm going. So if I use all my time to worry about where I've been in the past, I'm not going anywhere. But I can change today. I can't change any mistakes. I can't change any success. I can't change anything I've had in my past. I can only change where I'm going. And I can only control where I'm going. And also, I can't change what happened yesterday. I can only change what happens today. And so you don't have power to change what happened yesterday, but you have been given power to change what happens today. Pastor, I wish I'd have heard the sermon 20 years ago. Man, I blew it with my kids. I wasn't there enough. I should have done this better. I should have been a better husband to them. I should have been a better father or a better mother, whatever it was. And I should have done this different. I should have done that different. If you're not careful, you're stuck there. never advancing. Instead of saying, you know what, that's true, but you know, I'm going to be a better grandpa now. I'm going to be a great grandpa, and I'm going to set a new standard for my grandkids, and I'm going to set a new standard for my children. I'm going to love their grandmother and their wife, my wife, even more now. I'm going to show them, and I'm going to be there for them. I'm going to do everything. I can't change what happened in the past, but I can change going forward. I can plant new seed. I can see new things happen. You can sit around and make an excuse for what didn't happen, or you can be proactive in letting something new happen today. You can't control yesterday. Quit crying about it. Let it go and move forward. God, you're calling me. See, destiny calls me forward. Paul said, I'm moving forward in this race. I'm pressing on in this race. See, I've said this several times, and I want you to get it today again. Happiness, my happiness, is not tied to things. It's tied to my purpose. Happiness is not tied to my things. It's tied to my purpose. And so if you're thinking the more things I collect, the more promotions I get, the more money I get in my account, you think all those things are going to bring happiness, then you're mistaken. Those things can fund happiness, but they ain't going to bring happiness, right? They may fund short-term happiness, but we really know that true happiness is going to come when you live out your purpose in life. Living out your God-given purpose in life, that's where you're going to find the sense of, my destiny. Oh, my purpose. Yeah, it's when I walk out what God has for me. Discover, God, why was I created? God, what do you have for me? As I understand this, then I can walk in the happiness. See, when we go to pro games now, I know that a lot of us like the pro game, right? Anybody like to go to the pro games? Anybody like to go watch the baseballs here? We got any Cardinals fans in here? Raise your hand if you're Cardinals fans. Okay. Any Royals fans in here? Raise your hands. Any Royals fans? Okay. Bandwagon right there. I see you. Okay, all right. Just playing. Hey, you know, Pastor Tom and Debbie, they love to go watch the Cardinals play. They make it up for a few games a year and always put it on social media, rub it in our faces while we're at work, start out there having fun. But, you know, Pastor Tom and Debbie, when they go to the game, they're going to go. They take off to go work or take off that weekend. And Pastor Tom and Debbie put on their jersey. The Cardinals jersey, favorite Cardinals jersey, and they go and they pay to watch that game. You know what they're doing? They're paying, and we do the same thing when we go to a professional game. We're paying to watch somebody else live out their dream. Think about that. We're paying to watch somebody else live out their dream. Just because he showed up in the jersey doesn't mean he can get on the field and play the game, right? I mean, think about it. You know, my son Landon, come here, Landon. Come here real fast. My son Landon and I have been doing a lot of traveling recently. And, you know, he's getting recruited. He's gotten 10 D1 offers already. We think about that. It's pretty cool. Huh? Yeah. So as we go in to talk to coaches, you know, one of the things they do on Twitter, they'll send him private messages, and they'll send him a picture of him in his uniform. Like, they'll send a picture of their uniform. This is your uniform. You're going to play for us. This is going to be your uniform. We walk into places, even places where they don't have, like, really nice facilities. They make sure that they got really nice uniforms. I mean, they got all the uniforms laid out for you to see. They want you to try on the jersey. Come and play. We'll give you this jersey. And what they don't do, this son, they'll say this, Landon, if you come and play, we'll give your daddy a uniform too, and he can play too. Now, if they're smart, they would probably do that, but they don't do that. No, they're not doing it. No one's offering me a chance to come and play. They're going to give him the uniform, and he's going to play. Thanks, son. They're going, why? Because, you know, just because I show up in a jersey doesn't mean I'm on the team. Are you getting me? Okay, let me say it to you in another way. Far too long, too many of us have been in the stands, and God's wanting you to get out of the stands and get into the game. Well, I got the jersey. I'm cool. Yeah, see, when I become a Christian and I accept the work of the cross, I receive a new uniform. I receive a new jersey. He says that old things are passed away. All things become what? New. That I am clothed in his righteousness. I'm clothed in the armor of God. That I put on the full armor of God. That I walk in his righteousness. Man, he creates in me a new, clean heart. I mean, I've been given the uniform. And does God give me the uniform to come and sit in the stands? Well, think about it. When the coach gives the player a uniform, they're not saying, Landon, come here, we'll give you a uniform so you can come and sit in the stands. No, when the owner gives you a uniform, why does he give you a uniform? He wants you to get in the game. The reason why he gives you a uniform, he wants you to get in the game. And far too long, many of us have been walking around with a spiritual uniform all over social media. Look at my spiritual uniform. Oh, yeah. We want everybody to see. I posted 3 Christian scriptures this week. I'm awesome. I got the Christian uniform. Come on. You know I'm telling the truth. I'm awesome. I've got the Christian uniform going on here. And we're sitting on the sidelines the whole time. Yeah, yeah. I'm playing the game. No, you're in the stands. You're in the stands. The owner never gives us the uniform to sit in the stands. He gives us a uniform so we'll get up and get in the game. God wants us to get in the game. He's not asking you to retire. He said, I want you to get in the game. I've given you the uniform. Get on the field and play. Get out there. Give it your all. Come on, do something. He's given us a new uniform because he wants us to play in the game. This is my purpose. This is my destiny. This is your purpose. This is your destiny. That God's calling you to get involved in the game. He wants you to get involved, not to be a spectator. Boy, look at Pastor TJ and Pastor Justin, Latricia, and Pastor Tom and Debbie, and Pastor Joe and Jen. Look at all of them, man. They over there. Oh, man, they're playing so good. I like that. I like coming to church and watching them play. Well, I like the way they play the game. I think I'll attend that church. I think I'll go there. But I like, no, he wants you to be involved in the game. He wants you to be involved in the game just as much as I'm involved in the game. All of us, it's my destiny. A friend told me before church, who heard me say this, he said, and when you get the jersey, it doesn't make you the coach either. I thought that was pretty good, wasn't it? See, destiny's been calling me. It's a purpose for all of my life. Some of you have been going to champs, buying your uniform, showing up to the game. God's like, I know. You get the uniform from the owner, and he gives it to you for a purpose. He wants you to play. Get out of the stands. You don't get the jersey at the start of the race. I mean, at the end of the race, right? You get the jersey, the uniform at the start. Why? So you can run the race. So you don't run the race, then come and get your uniform. No, you get your uniform first, and then you run the race. It's a part of it. It's who God's calling us to be. Look at this last statement here I made, one of the last statements. We have too many people walking around wearing the jersey, but never get into the game. Get in the game. I can tell you, even when I go, I haven't played the game in a long time, but even when I'm sitting in the stands, there's something in my heart that says, one play. I still got one good play in me. I'm delusional, just like you. Why? There's something that eats at me. I want to get in the game. I want to get in the game. That should be the desire of every believer's heart, that we want to get in the game. God, you're giving me the uniform. I want to get in the game. I want to get out of the stands. See, I walk out of the parking lot as an unbeliever. I come to the stands and I observe and I hear the message of Christ. I hear the message. I raise my hand and say, yes, I'm a believer. Yes, I accept. I receive my uniform. And now I walk out of the stands and I get on the sidelines and I'm ready for God to use me. Coach, use me. Train me. Teach me. I want to get in the game. That should be the heart of every believer. That God's calling us out to get into the game. That's our purpose. That's what he has for us. Now, look at this today. How many know that we're just, society sees us as a bunch of numbers. Isn't that true? I mean, when you're born, you get a social security number. When you go to get your driver's license, you get a driver's license number. When you get a house, they give you a number for your address. When you get a phone, they give you a phone number. I mean, you go down to DMV, you better get a number or you ain't going to call your name. I love walking in there and grabbing a number, and there's people sitting there for a long time. They're like, hey, he's before me. No, he went. I got my number. You should have got your number. Because I've been there when you did get your number. You're like, oh, that makes sense. No wonder everybody else is going up. It's about the number. Society puts us in numbers, don't they? And you go to school, they're going to give you a number. You get a job, they're going to give you an employer identification number. Always giving. You go to jail, they're going to give you a number. Come on now, we know. They're always giving us numbers. Society sees us as numbers, but with God, you're not a number. With God, you're more than a number. God, see, Satan has constantly tried to devalue the custom make that God has upon your life. You are custom made, and God values you. Long before he ever valued the earth, he had you and I in mind. He knew us. He chose us for his adoption long before he ever created the earth and set it into motion. He had us in mind. God's building our value. What's Satan do? No one really likes you. You'll never be good enough. You don't. God can't use you. You better stay on the sidelines. You have nothing to offer. Oh, you could have offered something, but you made a mistake, so God will never use you again. Or you did this, or you did that. Or you're not good enough. You don't have any talent. Nobody really is going to like you or listen to you. Satan constantly eats at us and tells us these things. Why? Because he's trying to devalue you. Why? Because he knows that when you see your value, you'll get in the game. You get in the game. Oh, no, Satan, you're a liar. You're a liar. God says, he's giving me the uniform. He wants me in the game. I love what God says in Ephesians 2:10. For we are God's masterpiece. Turn to your neighbor and say, we're God's masterpiece. Come on, now tell him that. You're God's masterpiece. You're God's Picasso. You're his Rembrandt. You are God's masterpiece. He's handcrafted, hand-painted, hand-formed us. He has created us anew. He's created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things. Why did he create us? So that we could do the good things. He planned for us long ago, back before the earth was ever created. He had a plan for you and I. It's been destiny. It's been calling you. You're custom made. And destiny's been calling you all the days of your life. I'm going to ask musicians to come this morning. How many here say, Pastor, man, if it wasn't for God, I don't know how in the world I survived and made it here. Anybody know what I'm talking about over the years? Maybe some of you are like me. You say, if it wasn't for God, I think back of some of the stupid things I've done. Think back about some of the risks I've taken. Some of the things we've done. If it had not been for God, God causing me to avoid danger in my life, God getting me out of danger, some of the things destiny's been calling me. Even before you knew God, destiny's been calling you. He's been directing you here. He's been directing your ways. He's been calling your name. Destiny's been calling you all of your life. God's been calling you, and he's got a purpose and a plan for you. We're going to discover that over this next month. We're going to unpack it, continue to listen to it, and read it, and discuss it, find out what is God's purpose in my life. What is God's destiny? Anybody receiving this word today? If that's you, can you raise your hands? I've been. Okay. All right. I invite you to stand on your feet as we get ready to close with a song. I want you to really, over this next month, begin to say, God, I want to know you on a such deeper level. He's calling me deeper to know who he is. Why? So I can press forward. So I can discover the purpose he has for my life. My first purpose, my first thing is I got to love you more than anything else. Continue to fall in love with you more than anything else. I got to love you more than the riches. That's why he told the rich young ruler, when he said, what can I do to follow you? He goes, go sell your things and come follow after me. It wasn't because God wanted his money, but because that guy had a lot of things, and he was really in love with his things. And God was basically teaching him, saying, you can't love your things and then really come after me the way you want to. See, what are we in love with that we love more than God? What is it that we love about ourselves more than God? What is it we love in our life more than God? God, help me to put those things aside. Help me to say, God, I love you. Lord, I count all those things as trash when it compared to you. Of knowing the goodness, because when I know you, it increases the infinite value of who you are in my life. So I believe he's a good, good father, calling us deeper. I want you this morning, as we sing with the song, close the song, I want you to make it personal. Say, God, you're so good. You've been calling me, and I'm saying yes. Pastor Joe leaves.
Oh, and I've heard a thousand thousand stories of what they think you're like, but I've heard the tender whisper of love in the dead of a night, and you tell me that you're pleased and that I'm never alone. You're a good, good father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. You're a good.
I invite you today. Can you just raise your hands one more time with me? I want to pray for you. Can I do that? Father, right now, as we lift our hands to you, Lord, I pray that destiny is calling us. The voice of the Lord is calling us deeper. That God, no matter what we've been through, whether it was a tough season, whether it was a good season, that we would not settle. But God, we realize that destiny is still calling us to press forward. And Lord, I pray right now that throughout this month of May, as we go into the first day of May tomorrow, Lord, I pray that God, as we study this and unpack it, may the word of the Lord come alive in our hearts. May there be a renewed vision within us, God, to know you like we've never known you before. May there be a renewed purpose in our life to love you more than anything else. May there be a renewed purpose that, God, you're not done with us. And despite our failures, despite of our shortcomings, despite of our past success, that, God, you're not done. And God, you got things for us to do, things for us to accomplish, things to do for the kingdom of God. And we'll climb back out of the stands and we'll say, God, I'm ready. I'm ready. I'm ready to get back in the game. Falling after the destiny, falling after my God-given purpose. To know you like never before and to make you known as a carrier of your glory. And we say together, amen, amen. One more time. Let's give God a big hand clap. Can we do that? Isn't God good? I love you. Thank you guys so much for being here. Would you do me a favor today before you leave, guys? If there's any trash around you, could you pick that up and throw it in the trash can? We got a funeral here shortly after the church, and so I want to make sure it's picked up. So thank you very much.